What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev and Josh. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk through the Hounds' 0-0 draw to the Rhinos. We'll preview our midweek matchup against the Battery, and we'll talk a little world soccer and much more. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle. Back to
So I typically try to put together some sort of segue to come out of that, and today I've got nothing.
But you buzzed your head, and it's still really weird to look at you.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you move out to the boonies, and like, you know, honestly, I did it to my kids. I was like, well, guys, come here. We're just going to shave all your hair off, and it's fine. And then I was like, you know, my hair's getting a little unwieldy, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it as well.
I thought you were just going to, like, dress up as me for, like, some costume contests, and
that's what's happening is I'm waiting for that game where we're gonna come
realize.
In. So I'm gonna grow a goatee and I'm just gonna just bick it and yeah.
There we go.
Actually, we should do that, Kevin. You should do that too. Just shave all your hair off, leave the goatee.
That's gonna take a lot.
Yeah, let's not do that. I'm just saying, unique bald one. That's fine with me.
Yeah, you got your thing. You're the bald guy with the driver's cap, and yeah, that's your thing. We won't take that from you. Don't worry. Kev, you do anything fun this weekend?
No, today was just, I mean, this past weekend was just getting back to some semblance of normalcy. Past couple weekends have been a bit busy, so we just kind of took the opportunity to do boring human weekend things, grocery shopping, Target trips.
Boring like alien weekend things?
I guess, yeah. That. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, the human thing was a bit weird. Surprise.
Surprise. That's your unique thing.
We are launching into this podcast, aren't we? Josh, you recorded a new show.
Yeah. Started a new podcast called Filmiverse. It's going to be on the Geek Out Nerd Rage feed. So recorded that. It should be going up here later on this week. It's all about expanded universe movies, so cinematic universe movies. It's just a very nerdy podcast. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's right. It sounds right up my alley. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. Okay, cool. Well, let's talk about the Rhinos game. So the Hounds go into Rochester, somewhere they really haven't had luck previously, and they come out with a 0-0 draw. Before we even get into takeaways, I just want to ask right off the bat, Josh, was this a good result?
Unfortunately, yes. It's a very apprehensive yay. It's a good result.
Kev, do you agree?
Yeah, but if you keep glancing at the standings, I get more and more anxious and nervous as weeks go by. So, yes, but I'm running out of time to say yes.
I mean, I think I'm with you guys. I think this is a good result considering the history that we've had going into Rochester. I think if you take this game in isolation and you look at it and you say, okay, you go up to Rochester, you get a point, I think we take it. I think in the context of what's happened over the past 3 to 4 games, I think that's when we're like, you get anxious. We need more points than one. But I think on the surface, obviously we'll get into the details, I think this was a good enough result. But that said, let's actually get into some of the takeaways. And I guess I'll lead off on this one. I think one of the things that I noticed was, first of all, the defense really held their ground. Trey Mitchell gets the call and goal, gets another shutout. So good on Trey. We'll talk about the stats here in a minute. Defense held strong, but again, we're seeing a situation where the offense just can't put in goals. And one of the things that I noticed was we started with Herzog on the bench. We had Walsh and Banjo up top. We had Parks and Kerr behind them, and it just seemed like every time either Walsh or Banjo or Parks got the ball, no matter whether it was 10 yards away from goal or 30 yards away from goal, their job was to, or they had it in their mind, I'm going to goal. And the problem is that when you're 30 yards away and you're trying to go to goal, defenses just collapse on you and you end up losing it. And we saw that more times than not in this game. So I'm still of the mindset, you know, we talked about in the last episode about whether or not is this a player issue or is this a system issue? I think some of it is players wanting to be a hero. Like, I want to be the one to break us out of the slump and get the goal, so I'm going to do everything I can to do it. I think some of it is the team is lacking a unselfish, creative midfielder that will feed those passes into the Walshes, the Manjos, the Parks, so that they literally have to take one touch and then take a shot rather than try to dribble it 20 yards and take a shot. But that's... I think that's my biggest takeaway looking at this game is I think that we have the talent. I just don't know if the pieces are in the right place. Josh, what are your takeaways? Or do you agree with that or disagree, or do you want to move on to something else?
I'm like trying, you know, parse through that and try and figure out if I do agree with that, because I feel like we're still getting chances on goal. So I have a hard time believing that we need someone who will allow opportunities to for our forwards, because I feel like the forwards are getting good opportunities as it is. Like, the goals they're missing aren't because they're really hard goals. It's because they're just a little bit off, you know, a little bit to the right or going off the bar.
Chevy had some rockets in this game.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so I don't know if I agree completely what you're saying. I don't think it would hurt. I definitely think that could actually help a lot, so we're not trying to get the long shots, but the long shots we're taking and, you know, going up the beating the defenders and getting behind them is happening a lot, actually. It's just for some reason they're not connecting with those shots, so I don't know. I still feel like it's more the forwards need to hone their skills a little bit more and they'd be there.
That's fair. Kev?
I mean, I think this is something that we've been talking about this entire season. Is it players? Is it system? I mean, it's something that kind of stood out to me, Mike. You were tweeting it a lot during the game, and I full-heartedly agree. Everyone was just taking too many touches, and everyone was kind of too slow on the ball. There was a chance, around 55, minute 55 or so, where I think Soto receives the ball, takes one touch to turn, and then fires it into Banjo's feet. Banjo does a one-touch layoff back to Parks, immediately starts making a run behind the line, and Parks doesn't take a touch to control it and just puts it right behind the line, and Banjo's through on net, and that ends up being one of the better chances we had in the second half. And it was amazing how simple that entire flow of play looked. It was... oh, we just need to do that all the time. And it was, and so, but once again, this comes back to whether or not Brandt is encouraging this kind of tempo in practice. If he's screaming in their ears, quicker, 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 you know, one touch. Or if it's just the players don't have the technical ability to do that, because it was alarming how easy that was. And then you look at the rest of the game and it's, you know, players just lingering far too long on the ball. So I think that was our brightest moment, and unfortunately we didn't see more of it.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's again, like you said, it's the story of the season. There's flashes of brilliance and then just loads of mediocrity.
What did you guys think of Parks, like, behind a bit more central and kind of playing less of the winger role?
I mean, I
or do you think
I
he did?
Tweeted this out. Yeah, I mean, I tweeted this out where I didn't know if it was systemic and that he was instructed to do this or not, but originally he started at the wing, but there were plenty of times that he was more central, which I had said after the last game. I thought that he looked good as like a number 10 in behind the forwards. And I think, again, Kev, to your point, I think he just... I feel like when a team is in a rut like this, at least offensively, a lot of players start wanting to put on, you know, the hero cape and be the one to get the team out of it. And I feel like Parks is one of those people. So there were a lot of times where there was one point he picked up the ball like 40 yards away and it was just, I'm going to goal and I'm going to dribble past everybody. And that's fine. But as soon as everybody knows that that's what you're doing, they just close in on you and they just leave their man wide open. And that happened at least two or three times in this game.
And so I think I know your response, but I'm going to call you on it anyway. I think, for the past couple of podcasts, you've been calling for more and more players to kind of take on their man. So What's wrong with Parks doing it, Michael?
I don't... Okay. My argument with taking on your man is that it frees up space for other players. So, you know, I applauded Howell in taking on his man when he's 40 yards out, but I didn't say take on your man and then take on four other guys to try to go to goal. When you take on your man, you basically have other defenders or other players step out of position to try to close you down, and that frees up space for other players to move into, which you can then lay off passes, and then they have more room to do things. So I do think you need to take on your man, but when everybody in the stadium knows that you're going to take on your man and then take on the next man and then take on the next man and then take on the next man, your odds of actually getting to goal just decrease with every man.
So then that's kind of my argument back is I would say maybe if... Is it Parks just needs more players around him to kind of support him? And because given the context, if he beats his man and then looks up and has no one to lay the ball off to, is that Parks' fault or is that the rest of the team's fault?
I mean, I don't think that's what's happening. I think Parks just gets it in his head, I want to get that goal. And right. So he's not looking for the man after he beats the guy in front of him. He beats the guy in front of him and goes, oh, that was cool, let's do that again. And I mean, that's a trick you can play every couple of games because people aren't expecting it. But like Mike, you were saying, you kind of have to pick and choose that battle because if you keep on playing it, they're going to know it's coming and it's easy to beat. But if you, you know, pull it out every once in a while, it's just like, whoa, I didn't expect him to do that. It can work.
Yeah. I made the comment on Twitter that he's sort of like the Ovechkin of the USL and that every time he gets the ball, you know he's thinking shot. And, like, in some ways that's really good because when you're not scoring, you need somebody who's willing to put the ball on frame. So I'm not knocking the guy for taking shots. I'm just saying that when you have, you know, Kay Banjo and Chevy Walsh and Parks all picking up the ball 30 or 40 yards out because we don't have an attacking midfielder to sort of support them in the play, that's when you run into problems. And that's where you need to work on the link-up play between them and have guys running in behind. And, Kev, like you said, that one play looks so effortless. It was just ding, 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 and you're in. And, you know, I say effortless, and then I count off, like, six dinks. But regardless, yeah, I'd like to see more of that. So that may seem biggie, but
either way, I think going back to Parks, I was trying to think at the end of the game, okay, was this a failed experiment or well? And I keep saying experiment. I mean, Josh, you've kind of brought it up once or twice already. I don't know if this was a full-hearted commitment to playing Parks more centrally, or if this was okay, maybe in a defensive shape you take up a more winged position, but when we gain possession of the ball, maybe you drift inside and have Gomez overlap or something like that. By the way, a small shout out to Gomez. I think he's continually growing into his position. Mm-hmm. I was trying to decide, is this a failed experiment or not with Parks being more central? And I think my conclusion was I'm not willing to see it abandoned just yet. I think there could be a lot in it. I think he has the physical presence to maintain kind of, you know, center midfield dominance, and he still has the technical capabilities to look up, spot a pass, fire a shot from 25 yards and still pull it off. So whether we see him more centrally in the coming games, who knows? But I thought it was interesting nonetheless. I think it shows Brandt's willingness to at least – try something new when you know things aren't working out offensively.
And Mike, to your point real fast, I just was looking at the stats and it kind of does show what you're saying. We had 11 shots and 7 of those were outside the box. That's a pretty large sum, especially when you consider the Rhinos had 7 shots and only 2 of theirs were outside the box. We had more on target though, which is also, I feel like, kind of showing you that they're getting there, but they're just not connecting all the way through.
I mean, I do feel like at some point here, goals are just going to have to start going in. I mean, I feel that almost feels like a privilege type approach, but I feel like some of these shots that we're taking, the way that Chevy's ripping the ball, the way that Banjo is starting to get in behind, the way that Parks is willing to take shots from distance, which should open up space behind the D, it's going to start clicking. It's just we're in a really frustrating part right now where we're trying to wrestle through this. And you could tell, I don't deny, I'm happy that the passion is there and the guys all want to put the ball in the back of the net. There was a moment where Taylor Washington dribbled in and ended up taking a shot. He was inside the box and took a shot, and you could see Banjo, Walsh, and Parks all put their hands in the air like, ah, come on, like, pass it to us. And my immediate reaction was like, the number of times you guys try to dribble at 30 yards and just take a shot without passing, like, I can count on, you know, more than both my hands. So you can't begrudge Taylor for doing the same thing. But at the same time,
I can.
Well, I
sorry.
It's one of those things where, yeah, I know.
So. No, I completely take your point. My only tongue in cheek remark is, you know, Taylor's a fullback. They're forward players, so I would hope.
But they haven't scored in the past few games.
Sure.
So.
No, I mean, like, following up on that. I mean, if you look, so this was kind of crazy to look at. Other than when we played the Rowdies last time and we won 2-0 at home, June 22nd. If you remove that, the last time we've scored two goals in a game, you have to go all the way back to April 8th when we beat Charleston.
Ugh.
Other than that, we haven't scored more than a goal, which is nuts.
Yeah. In that vein,
sorry,
I think you just brought down the whole podcast.
Now, in that vein, I mentioned that Corey got a start on the bench. One of the things that I thought that I thoroughly enjoyed was there was a point where like one of the balls went out and you see him jump off the bench and get it and immediately throw it. Like his passion for like just the team in general is just, it's amazing to watch. So Corey, kudos to you. One of the things that I forgot. But there were a number of times that, you know, Kev, you mentioned Gomez, Taylor, they would send crosses into the box and there was nobody that would get on them. Corey came on after the 60th minute and there was one string of play in particular where there were two crosses sent in within like 15 seconds of each other. And he was the one to get on the end of both of them. And I said this on a previous show, somehow Corey is the only one on this team who knows how to get on the end of crosses. The number of times the ball sort of went over Walsh and he sort of looking over his shoulder and running back to it were, you know, at least more than a handful. But there's, again, I feel like there's some disconnect because I feel like Corey wasn't getting the service that he needed. I feel like there's just a lack of service to the team. But regardless, that was something that cropped up in my mind. I was like, oh, yeah, Corey can get on the end of crosses. We should be trying to take advantage of that as much as we can. So.
I think an interesting point is kind of, I mean, so the stat that we threw out about the lack of goal scoring, I mean, this isn't a surprise to anyone or anyone listening, is, I mean, we kind of, yeah, this is our identity for the, you know, 2017 season. We are, you know, if you're a Premier League fan, we are like West Brom at best, really. And so, I mean, it is what it is. And I think we can fool ourselves into saying, oh, no. We have Kerr, we have Herzog, we have Parks, we have Walsh, we have Banjo.
We're Manchester United.
Yeah. It's not the case. Well, they didn't score boatloads of goals either.
Yeah.
True. But so I think it's, I don't know. Part of me says now, you know what, like, let's. I liked the idea of bringing Herzog on 60. You know what I mean? That kind of got me excited. I was like, all right, fine. This has been a bit of a tight match, but you know what? We have something to get excited about for Herzog coming on. And so part of me says, let's just dog it. Let's put Earls and next to Solto and Okai, play like a three, pack the midfield, keep everyone tight, and just frustrate the crap out of people. Work on our set pieces. Like let's just try it, and then you know if keep it tight, and then on 60, make a triple sub of Parks, Herzog, and Chevy, and let's score goals.
I mean, I made that comment before the game started that seeing both Hollingsworth and Herzog on the bench, like you got some super subs there. I was a little bit disappointed to see Herzog get subbed in at was it right back or left back. Because I felt that again, when you have a team with tired legs, just let like Marshall had a lot of success playing wide in the midfield, put him in a mid, let him run behind the guys and take them on when they're tired. And I felt like that was maybe a bad call, but again, you know, I'm sitting there on my couch, Brant's there on the side of the field trying to make actual decisions. But, I'm Kev, I'm sort of in the mindset with you where it's like, you know what, if it ain't working, just put Hollingsworth at forward. Like, just let him go. Like, see what happens. Like, because again, Brandt has the players that he has, and if we keep harkening back to you know, the comments from Pep where it's, I get my players to the final third and then it's up to them to score, that's not happening. The defense is holding it down. You know, Solto and either Earls or Okai are holding it down. They're keeping things out in front. It's just the offense that's the problem. So how you get out of this, whether it's, you know, you start crafting some set plays for set pieces and corners and you hope for something, or I don't know.
Well, it's tough because it's not like he hasn't tried switching it up. I mean, here we see Herzog benched and Kay and Chevy, you know, put up top. I mean, I don't know what other kind of offensive combinations you can try. So if it'd be one thing if he was reluctant to switch and change things going forward, and we still have the offensive record that we have. But I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks if he is willing to try things and change things up from a personnel standpoint, then I don't know. I don't know what the solution is.
One of the things that, you know, kudos to Trey for bouncing back. He got the shutout. Like I said, he faced two shots on target. The Hounds are currently tied for third in the USL with 7 clean sheets on the season. Trey has 5 of those. Now, you know, if you take this completely out of context, if he didn't get injured and he got the clean sheets that Broom got, which that's not a really fair comparison, but he'd be tied for second in the USL with 7 clean sheets total. The leader is Gomez from Rochester with 8. So, like, defensively, the team's doing what they need to do. Were you guys at all surprised that it was Trey instead of Kiesel in goal, Josh?
I was surprised, yeah. I mean, I was kind of thinking it should have gone to Broom just because of the fact that he's been playing his heart out, and I feel like he had earned that starting position. With that said, I mean, having Trey in there, obviously he got the job done, and it didn't feel like a very intense game for him. Yeah. It was, you know, more so than usual. There was less for him to do. But he showed up on the two that he had to and got the clean sheet. So kudos.
Yeah. And Jamal Jack had the one case where he was like laying on the ground and using his head and was all, I mean, he was typical Jamal Jack. I feel like we mentioned him, but like, yeah.
That's super interesting. I mean, do you guys have any thoughts and comments on that? Because it seemed like everyone was saying, oh no, that's great play.
No.
I think I have the explanation for why the Rochester players are so upset, but
I mean, he had a handball right at the beginning of that. His hand touched the ball and then he decided to put his head on the ball, but then while he's putting his head on the ball, it's just a dangerous play essentially. Like,
that's what it was for me. It wasn't necessarily even the handball, because I think the handball, A, it was hard to see from my perspective,
yeah.
And B, I think it was one of those things where it was more ball to hand than hand. I don't know. But I think the Rochester argument was, you know, we saw Solto give up a penalty last time because, what, he went to kick the ball out at waist height when it was in our box and the other player was going to head the ball. So here you have an example where Jack's head is on the ball, on the ground, and the Rochester's playing saying, what do you want me to do? If I try to kick it, you're going to call a dangerous play on me. I mean, how am I supposed to play this? And I think that was his argument. That's my guess. And so I can actually see that being a very frustrating thing for a Rochester player, thinking that I can't do anything here if his head's on the ball.
He was essentially turtling on the ball, like, you know, just trying to make it so they can't kick it. And it was ridiculous. It was not, I don't know, it was not a pretty play. If it was the other way around, if I'm watching the other team do this, I'm out of my seat, I'm screaming, cursing at the screen, saying this is BS, that this is not soccer, that what is he doing?
Yeah, but I love that.
Yeah.
I love that simultaneously, because he's like, no, I'm going to do anything to make sure this is not going in. And if I have to lick the ball, do it, but it does not go. And I appreciate that.
Kudos to dedication, but yeah. I'm really shocked that the ref did not call it the other way around or make a different type of decision, because, yeah.
We've had a bit of a revolving door at center back, but I think the consistent force that's been there for the majority of the season has been Jack and his willingness to just do anything to keep the ball out. And you gotta admire that passion. We talk about how important sort of that core up the middle is, and I think that he has been one of those key cogs and one of the key reasons why we have so many shutouts and why we've had so many low-scoring games all season, where, you know, Broome's able to step in and he's able to be effective. And I think that's as much a testament to Broome as it is to the rest of the defense and keeping shots off him. So, yeah, I feel like we, because of the offensive struggles, we often overlook the defensive victories, yeah. And I want to make sure they get their due, because they have been, they've been holding it down the past few games.
Mike, were you surprised about the Trey Broome swap?
I was surprised. We talked about on the last show how, Josh, I agree with you, how I thought that Broome did enough that it would have to be a battle for Trey to get back in. And maybe that battle happened in practice and, you know, Trey earned his way back in, and kudos to him. You can't complain about the fact the guy comes in and gets a shutout. So I think if it was different, if we let in a goal and we end up losing this game, I think there's a lot more question about, like, oh, you know, it was Broome's spot and why do we give it back to Trey? But Trey's been consistent pretty much all season. So for me, it was, I don't want to say it was a coin toss. I can understand why it happened, but I'm still slightly surprised that it happened. That's all.
I think ever since Zach Steffen last year, I think ever since he left, I think he was the only example under Brandt that there has been a definitive number one goalkeeper, because he was good enough to make sure that happened. I don't know. I feel like in Brandt's tenure, he hasn't, and I could be completely wrong forgetting everything that happened before Steffen. But I feel like Brandt kind of takes this potentially unorthodox view on, you know what, I have two good keepers here, and regardless, you know, as long as they're both putting in training, I'll give them each their games. And, you know, if Broome's putting in performances like he has been over the past couple games, Trey keeps getting shutouts, I don't know if we have much room to complain about it.
Yeah, before Steffen, well, we've had a revolving door of goalkeepers throughout at least the last five seasons, but after Gilstrap, he was our last consistent goalkeeper. But then once Gilstrap left, we've lost him to either injuries or just not being able to keep him on the team. I think I can count at least five goalkeepers in the last, like, 3 years. Yeah. So
it's a good problem to have. And the fact that you have two number one keepers, it's just, it then becomes player management. That's all. So we'll see how things shake out the rest of the season, and hopefully there's no, you know, anger from either one of the players. But it sounds like talking to Trey and, you know, reading some of the stuff that Kiesel has said to, you know, like Rachel and things like that, it sounds like it's a mutual admiration society there. So as long as it stays that way, then I'm cool with it. I guess any other takeaways before we move on here to Charleston?
Nil-nil, man. It's not fun.
Yeah. Just, we had our chances. It was just... not that it was a boring game.
The end
game.
Of it got kind of exciting. But yeah, you're right. I mean, a large part of it was just snooze fest.
Yeah. And I think we predicted coming into this game, most of us said that, you know, we can't, it's difficult in the current form that we're in predicting more than a draw. And that's what we
I think I said nil-nil. I just want to big myself up a bit. I could go back in the archives and listen to
look
it.
Look at you saying, I want to build myself up over something I just think
saying.
I said.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder who's actually winning on our count for predictions so far this summer. It'd be interesting to listen back.
Yeah. It's not me. I know that much. I've been pretty optimistic most of my, except for the last couple of weeks I haven't been, but before that I was definitely on the, oh yeah, it's going to be a win. Oh yeah, it's going to be a win. Yeah.
My predictions are all over the map. So, I mean, like we said, obviously we want to comment on things like the offense and, you know, give kudos to the defense and Trey once again for getting the shutout, but Hounds come away with another point. So it's better than nothing. But it's not what we're hoping for. At some point here, we need to start picking up three. The Hounds are currently sitting at 11th with 22 points. Red Bulls are at 8 with 24. So a win would jump us up above the playoff line. It's all very tight still. So now we're just looking for a game or two to help us break out. And hopefully, we'll see. Charleston may be that game.
What a segue.
I know, right? We go from, like, I don't know how to make a segue to I'm just going to make one up on the spot. It wasn't even that great. I'm terrible.
That
anyway.
Good, Mike.
So the Hounds return home on Wednesday at 7 p.m. to take on the Battery. After the game, there's going to be a Gold Cup party to watch USA take on the Reggae Boys in the final, which that sounds like it'll be a good time. The Battery, they were the top team in the East early on. They've held onto that mantle for really most of the season. Although they have lost their most recent two matches. They lost 1-0 to St. Louis and lost 2-0 to the Rowdies. But the good news is the last time we played them in Charleston, Hounds walked away with a 2-1 win off a late Herzog header from Kerr. That was one of those magic moments where Kerr just sends one in, Herzog dives, and before you know it, we go from stealing a point to taking all three.
And one of those magic moments, we scored two goals.
Yeah, exactly. That was the last time, aside from Tampa, that we scored two goals in a game. Yeah. In terms of players to watch, Romario Williams leads the league, like all of USL, with 14 goals. So, you know, really him versus RD that have been solid is going to be an interesting one to watch. I just read an article today that Charleston has a player, Lagos Kunga, who is part of the Atlanta youth development system, got some minutes in their last game, didn't play the whole game, but apparently was really impressive. And there was some talk that the reason why he didn't get the full game was because they had an eye towards this game on Wednesday. So he might be one to watch. He's a youngster. I think he's only 20. But there's a lot of high hopes for him out of Atlanta, and he was moved down to the Battery to get some more minutes. So might be a fun one to watch. In terms of, you know, Charleston, they average 1.2 goals against each game, which is, hey, that's our bread and butter. And they score almost 2 goals a game on average. So hopefully we can knock that number down. Guys, you know, they're the top team in the East. They just lost their most recent 2 games. They're coming to Highmark Stadium. The Hounds are coming off a 3-game road trip where they picked up points, I think, in every one of the games. So
sounds about right. Yeah.
What are we hoping to see here, Josh? What do you think?
It's hard to be optimistic for this game. We talked about it last podcast. Our home advantage isn't really a thing. If anything, we get more points away than we do at home lately. So that's concerning. And the fact that they're top of the you know, standings right now, at least top of the East, yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking we're going to get a point. Unfortunately, we might see a draw streak happening here.
That's fair. Kev, what do you think?
I mean, I've kept banging the drum about how we kind of come to play for the big teams. You know, we beat Tampa 2-0. We beat Charleston last time we played them 2-1. You know, even though Bethlehem was fielding a lot of young guys, we steal a draw out of them in great form. I don't know. I mean, Josh, I completely hear your point of, you know, we haven't been great at home. This might be a kind of nice little homecoming for them after having 3 away games on the stretch. So players might be quite eager to get back in Highmark. It's a hard one. It's a hard one to call, though. I mean, I could easily see Charleston finding their attacking form again after going scoreless the past 2 games and kind of lighten it up. I think 1-1, 0-0, I'd be okay with that.
It's funny, looking back the last time we played Charleston, the way that we lined up was a 4-4-1-1 where you had Kevin Kerr in the middle with Herzog right above him. And we seem to be generating more scoring chances that way. I just had an idea. Could Rich Bulshin's injury be the turning point for this team for the entire season? Because in that game, Rich Bulshin was playing it, whatever it was, right back. Washington was on left back. We had basically, we still had sort of a revolving door at center D. Then we had Hollingsworth was allowed to play in mid. We had Jack Thompson playing in mid. We had Solto in mid. And then we were playing either I think it was Okai at that point.
I think you found it. That was it.
And so,
I mean, he was a big part of our attack. He was he was getting up on those wings so fast. And in the end, that's what kind of hurt him the most was, you know, one of those streaks up the side. So, he was definitely a major part of our game.
And so he goes down, and all of a sudden we start sliding Hollingsworth back to defense, which then opens up a gap in the midfield. Kev, you're shaking your hand like...
But, I mean, that shouldn't be the... I mean, because now we have Gomez.
Now we have Gomez. I mean, so... Right. But,
so,
but,
I mean, if we can play him and Taylor at fullbacks... I don't know. Sorry.
We also... I mean, but, you know, now we have Walsh in form. We have Banjo, who's healthy again. We have Parks, who we didn't have last time. So... there's a lot of things going on, but it was just funny looking back at that game and looking at the lineup. I went, "Oh yeah, that's right."
Mystique.
Like
he's the missing piece.
Yeah, so maybe Balshin has been, you know, once he went down, that was the thing that just, you know, was the one puzzle piece that just caused the whole puzzle to get thrown up in the air. And
speaking of, any news on his injury? I mean, I forget. I knew it was pretty serious. Was he out for the season?
Oh yeah, he's out for the whole season. I think it was like a 6-month recovery or something like that.
Yeah. That's brutal. So I didn't give my prediction.
I just didn't know if there was a chance.
This is a tough one. I think that the Romario Williams against the defense is going to be a really fun matchup to watch, in terms of whether or not we put a guy on him at all times or how we hone in on him to try to shut him down. I think regardless of what happens, this could be a fun game. I think that the Hounds know that. I think Brandt is, you know, obviously knows there's scoring issues. So I think that he's going to tinker some more with the lineup a bit. I had called prior to this game for Corey, as much as we love him, to start on the bench and let Walsh and Banjo have a shot up top. And so kudos to him for doing that. Maybe we do that again. And I hope that it plays out, having somebody like Corey come off the bench in the 60th minute and just start running up against their D. It's going to be difficult, I think, for me to predict anything but a draw from this game, as much as I want to. I'll say at home with some additional fans there, like the American Outlaws, who are getting ready for the Gold Cup game, maybe it gets boisterous enough that the Hounds squeak one out and they come away with another 2-1 win.
Who do you guys think starts in goal?
I think Trey.
Yeah, it's Trey. I mean, I don't see why he would have started Trey this last match if he didn't want him back up at top since he's healthy.
Yeah. Kev, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, because I have very good recent positive memories of Broom in my head right now, and it's hard to get those out and forget about them completely, especially because, you know, Trey, only made 2 saves last game, so it wasn't like he faced a barrage of shots and just came out the conqueror. But, I don't know. I'd be curious because, like I said, I'm still convinced I think Brandt will rotate goalkeepers. So whether he pulls Broom back in, I don't know. Let's put it this way. Maybe I expect Trey, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if Broom started.
And, I don't want to see a rotation. That's the only thing I don't like. I don't like the idea of a rotation.
Yeah. We've said that going all the way back to last season, how we don't like to see a rotation, but at the same time, it's hard to argue for the fact that, you know, Trey goes down in pregame with a shoulder injury and Broom steps up and gets a shutout. So, like, they're both quality keepers, and, you know, I don't want to knock either of them. I know we knocked Broom a little bit early on in the season because that the first game he started and let in 3 goals, but... beyond that, he's been solid. So kudos to both of them. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. I mentioned after the game, there will be a watch party. I guess it's at Highmark for the Gold Cup final, which will be USA versus Jamaica. So you almost get like a doubleheader. Lots of fun. Make sure you get down there. In terms of Steel Army news, Josh, you want to talk a little bit about Harrisburg here?
Yeah, we're getting the bus back going. Our one away trip that we're doing this season, going to be to Harrisburg. Sign up for spots because they're going to go. We're hoping here soon. We need more people to sign up though. So yeah, if you're even on the, you know, edge about it, definitely give it a shot. It's a lot of fun every year. This is the one trip we need to make. Keep that rivalry alive.
Yeah, it's only $40, and that gets you a ride on the bus and a ticket to the game. It's the third and final match to determine the winner of the Keystone Derby. So the first game the Hounds won 1-0 back in April, followed up with a 0-0 draw in Harrisburg in May. So a win or a draw brings the cup back to Pittsburgh. This is August 12th. So get it on your calendar, get on the bus, pay $40. You can ride out. It's BYOB. There were some sort of rules about if you're under 21, like bring a...
Yeah, because once we get to Harrisburg, we usually hang out at a bar that's local, and they don't allow kids in there unless they're with their parents. So, you know, that kind of makes it hard for the kids to come with us. So, yeah.
It's also going to be an Old Guard Shield match, which we talked a little bit about prior to the last game, because that was also an Old Guard Shield match, which we are still leading by 2 points after the draw this weekend, which, you know, considering the run of form, it's easy to get depressed, but we are the leaders in the Old Guard Shield, so that's awesome. We'll see what happens here, obviously, after this weekend. But, yeah, so head over to steelarmy.com to find out more information about that. Sign up, get your ticket, get on the bus, get to the game. That'd be great. Kev, you want to give a shout-out to the 99 girls?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So I guess the National Cup 16 finals... In the under 18-19 girls group, I guess. Yeah, the Hounds Academy, the 99 girls beat Lake Grove Newfield SC Tsunami, long name. beat them 2-0 to claim the cup. I'm gonna butcher these names too, but shout out to Courtney Koholich for a goal and Emily Arnold for a goal. So finishing off with a 2-0 win to claim the cup. So congrats to them.
99 girls getting it done. There was some talk on Twitter after our last show where we talked about sort of the pipeline and whether or not there is a pipeline for at least the boys to go up to the Riverhounds first team. And there's some question about whether or not there is as much success on the boys' side. But there's no doubt that the girls' side has just been crushing it the past few years in terms of the number of college signees that are coming out of the youth development system. So yeah, kudos to the girls, especially the 99 squad that went off and got it done. But you know, all the kids that are out there competing and getting it done, that's something we'd like to see, and we'd like to see that funnel established more for the boys team. There was some talk of, you know, Pittsburgh could be ripe for you know, a pro women's team. And I totally agree, considering the pipeline that's there with the girls now. So might be something to look forward to here in the future. We'll see whether or not the organization tries to pull the trigger on something like that. EPL Fantasy, we talked about it on the last show a little bit. The FPL Fantasy League is now live. Go to mongols.com, click on the green Join the FPL League button to play with us for free. That's good. That's just like a standard league where you have $100 million to spend on players. You could build your team however you want. I would really like to do a draft league as well. You only need 2 managers to do that. So, like, you know, Kev, if you, me, and Josh wanted to do it, we could do our own league with just a draft league. But the way the draft league works is we would all sit down at the same time, and we'd basically pick players. So if I pick Harry Kane, nobody else can pick Harry Kane.
I was going to say, you would pick all Spurs fans. Josh would pick all Everton players.
Whoa, I want to score goals. I'm not picking all Everton.
But if anybody's interested in doing a draft league, hit us up on Twitter, @Mongols. Let us know, because I think it would be a lot of fun. This is something that the EPL is introducing just this year. It's brand new. So yeah, in addition to the traditional FPL league that we're going to do, which I think we already have 8 or 10 teams signed up, which we're putting no cap on it. So if you want to sign up, go sign up. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of banter. We talk about stuff all the time. It's great. If you're interested in trying a draft league, let us know, and we'll try to set that up and get you in there as well. And that could be a lot of fun. Kevin, you created a team already. As you were going through it, was there anything that sort of came back into the forefront of your mind from last year? Any players that you think are must-have so far? Just little tidbits you can give people?
I mean, everything is Liverpool biased. I have to say that up front.
All right, just stop talking. So come on.
Hey. So the Liverpool like tips and tricks. Okay. Even so, I was a little upset by this. I saw. So I think we recently purchased Mohamed Salah from Roma over the summer. He had a stint at Chelsea, then moved over to Roma. He's kind of like the Egyptian Mane. And so I think he could actually, Klopp's been bigging him up a lot. I think he could put up some really big numbers this year quietly. Although the only slightly disappointing thing is, I think Mane is like 9.5 million and Salah's 9. And so I was expecting more of a drop off there. But I think he's primed to have a good season. Also a little kind of dark horse in Liverpool. Sturridge is fit and firing, back again, looking great in training camp. I think if people keep forgetting about him, and if he remains injury free, I think he can put up huge numbers this season. So he might be a cheap striker to pick up as well.
I keep come on,
those
were
good
how,
tips.
I know. No, it was a good tip. It was good. I just keep forgetting, you know, having to say Liverpool talk. I know.
I wanted to take a shot when he said Klopp. I feel like that drinking game. Upset Klopp. I thought when you originally said I was upset, I thought you were going to say I can't choose Klopp as a forward.
How great that would be.
Yeah.
Josh, I know you haven't created a team yet, but do you have an idea of the team name that you're going to pick? Because I feel like that's a big thing.
That's a good question. Like, I haven't even thought about it.
What team name is yours?
Mine is Kane Stop the Feeling. So
nice. You know. Did you look that up? Or did you come up
with that? No, I totally looked that up. No, stop it. Yeah. 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 I guess in terms of strategy, the only thing that came back for me was get defenders on teams that are going to get some shutouts, and try to get defenders that, in addition to getting shutouts, are going to be attacking defenders. So I went out and got Kyle Walker, who is now with Man City, because I think Pep is going to use him similar to how he used Dani Alves when he was at Barcelona. And
City's not getting shutouts. Come on.
And well, I don't think they're getting shutouts, but I think Kyle Walker has a chance to get some decent assists. And I also got Danny Rose, who was on form with Tottenham last year before he got injured. And then Baines from Everton, who was getting me a lot of points at defense last year too. So, Kevin, you're laughing. Shut up. Yeah. So, Josh, you've yet to make your team yet.
I get so nervous and I get so like worked up about it. Like I've gone to the website twice now and I started my team. I'm just hemming and hawing about players and I'm like, I don't know. I have to do more research. I'm not ready to commit to a team yet. So I have not made a team yet because every time I push the button, I'm just like, nope, this team's not good enough yet. So I will.
That's still fair. You got plenty of time before. Well, August, you got a few weeks, which sort of segues into our next point here. We mentioned what are we going to do about EPL, and we had a production meeting after our last show. We decided that rather going with the full-blown 3PL show this season, at least initially, what we're going to do is spend just a few minutes at the end of the Mongol show talking EPL for the rest of the season. So if you're involved with the Fantasy League with us, you know, you may hear your name get a shout-out. We may talk about what's going on in that league just in terms of teams that are on the rise, teams that are on the drop. Reasons why they're on the rise. Maybe we'll have you on the show to talk about why your team's on the rise, whatever it may be, at least as long as the Hounds are playing. And then we'll figure out what we do from there. So, you know, if you're not a big fan of the EPL, we apologize. Just, you know, you could shut us off as we get to the end. But we'll probably spend 5, maybe 10 minutes talking about what's going on there in whatever format that may be. It may just be, hey, did you see this weekend? Two other things real quick. I guess one other thing real quick. Looking ahead, the Hounds play the Rowdies on Saturday. So we will actually have a special episode coming out Friday morning featuring Matt from the Unused Subs podcast. They cover the Rowdies. Like I said, I wanted to have him on the show last time we played the Rowdies, but unfortunately that was right when I was moving and didn't have internet and all of that. So made a point. We're going to talk to Matt. We'll get a show out Friday morning, get you a good preview for that show. He will give us the latest on the Rowdies and help us preview that game. So otherwise, think that's it for the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Mongols. Email us at mongols@bgn.fm. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review. Otherwise, I think that's it. Let us know what you thought about the show. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Later.
Before you go, please help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongols.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongols.com. Click on Become a Supporter. Mongols.com. Become a Supporter. Thanks.